and Lysanias, ruler of Abilene, during the priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Congregation may be seated. Yeah. As Carolyn's placing the candle for the second Sunday of Advent, I invite the children to head out for Word for Children. They'll be out in the comfy chairs. Kathy Bishop is reading today, and the book is Out of the Way, Out of the Way. That's kind of fun, isn't it? Get out of the way. So those of you that were here last week will remember that we had a visitor, and the visitor we had was, let's see if this thing works. Oh, excellent. St. Nicholas, only I don't think it was that St. Nicholas. Instead, we had the St. Nicholas of Myra. And in addition to St. Nicholas telling a story about how he put gold coins almost accidentally in the socks of some daughters who needed it in order to be married and not be live a life of destitution. We also had another visitor that came and talked with us, and that was St. John of Damascus. And St. John is known for his defense of icons. Back in the 4th century, there was a major move to destroy all the icons out of fear that they were being worshipped as graven images, as idols. And so we spent a lot of time talking about how icons, when used properly, point us to the divine. And again, this is all a conversation about how we might, kind of instead of having to remember that Christmas is about this and not so directly about this. And so we're trying to recover the original meaning and stay focused on that. Not that this is bad, but when we lose sight of what Christmas is, as a symbol, is designed to point to, then we kind of get untethered and it gets really strange, and it's all about buying and receiving those kinds of things. Well, fortunately today we have the opportunity to once again have St. Nicholas. So St. Nicholas, if you would come join me up here. And let me get a place for you to sit here. And we're going to kind of continue our conversation from last week a little bit. How are you today, St. Nicholas?
Oh, I'm fine.
Why don't you have a seat here?
I'm so glad that you have all these modern conveniences to shave. I don't have to have my beard now.
Well, I'm glad you are enjoying some of the benefits of visiting us in this time and age. So I mentioned, as I was kind of catching everybody up on what happened last week, that you told the story about how you had given some gold coins, but that wasn't the only time that you were looking out for or helping with your wealth help take care of folks that were in need. So I'm wondering, why did you do that? What drove you? Why is it that you felt the need to do that?
I did that because of my eyes.
Because of your eyes?
Yes.
Okay.
Because God gave us eyes to see with, and I did it also because of my spirit, and God gave us a spirit. So when you see there is a need, and when you have the ability to help solve that need, then God directs us to do that.
Well, it's almost like when we see with spirit eyes or God's eyes, then we see those that God wants us to see,
and
not the ones that would necessarily automatically go to.
Yeah, well, it's I wouldn't call it God eyes.
Not God eyes.
No.
Through the eyes of, well, but I've heard the eyes of God used as a phrase. No, not God eyes. Okay.
It must be in this century, not mine.
Well, speaking of eyes and looking and seeing, we actually have someone else that's going to join us, one of your fellow saints, St. Lucy. And so, St. Lucy, come on down. Here, let me get something for St. Lucy to sit on. Both of you are quite old, so we don't want to have you have to stand up too much.
I'm 20. I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, you're a few centuries old, aren't you?
I'm 20. I don't know what you're talking about.
So let's see. I think we have an icon of you here. Oops.
Yeah.
What happened? There we go. So this is you, St. Nicholas.
Yeah, yes.
You did lose a beard.
Right.
St. Lucy.
Yeah.
There's something different about you.
Yeah, I don't have blonde hair.
You don't have blonde hair, but what's the thing with the candles? And why aren't you wearing them? I guess tell me a little bit about yourself.
Oh, that thing on my head up there.
Yeah. Because you are carrying a candle, but...
Well, you might all know that it hasn't gone well for women in the world. Well, it sounds like my thing is ringing. You got that? Under control back there. Great. Yeah, it hasn't always gone well for women around the world. You know that, right? Yeah, it's actually been really bad for women until about the last 100 years or so of the history of humanity. So it has always been the case that women were property, and they actually were a detriment to their families, and so their families would sell them off. They would actually have to pay somebody to take them. So they would gather money and jewels and then pay somebody to take them. And then when young girls were sold, they became people's spouses, and then they spent their whole lives raising children and caring for the family. And so that was the case when I lived too. But I was kind of a special case because my father died when I was 5, and my mother, yeah, thank you. My mother had a really terrible disease. She was bleeding all of the time, and so she was really worried for my future, and so she kind of gathered everything that we owned and had it converted into jewels so that somebody would take me, so that she could pay somebody to take me. But I actually didn't want to be married. Well, I don't want to out anybody, but I bet there's other women that didn't want to be married. So I told my mother not to do that, and we were kind of having a fight, actually. And in the middle of that, St. Agatha appeared to me in a dream. Hmm. She'd been through the same thing that I was going through. Because, see, we just want to serve Jesus, but if you're married and you're raising kids, you can't spend your life doing the things that Jesus did out in the world. You have to do that just kind of in the confines of your home. And St. Agatha had betrothed herself to Jesus and said she never wanted to be married and she wanted to do good things for the community. And she was actually tortured for that. She died a really terrible death.
St. Agatha?
St. Agatha did. Okay. She died a really terrible death. But anyway, she appeared to me in a dream and she told me that if I just stayed faithful that my mother would be healed and everything would be fine. And so I prayed, and my mother was healed. But my mother had gathered all these jewels, and she was still worried, and so she arranged for me to be married to somebody, and that, you know, at the end of our lives, whatever was left over could be given to the poor. But, I told my mother something. I said, you know what, when you die and you have money left over, you give that to the poor, but the reason that you do that is because you can't take it with you. And whatever it is that we want to give to the poor in Jesus' name, we should do that while we're living. Mm-hmm. And I told her we shouldn't give all of our money away to somebody to have me be married when I don't want to do that anyway. But the trouble was she had already made this contract.
And contracts are binding.
Yeah, it was really bad. But see, I spent all of my time... I'm still trying to answer why I have that on my head, by the way.
Oh, I'd already forgotten about that.
Yeah, well, I spent my time... looking for people who needed help. And I'm really grateful for you, Nicholas, because You live that way with your life, and I want to live that way with my life, too. I actually didn't know anything about you, but I'm glad to hear that Agatha and I aren't the only ones. But the reason that I have that on my head is that, you know, if you go at night, it's dark, which is kind of what I had to do because I didn't want to be caught doing things in Jesus' name. They were hurting people for that. So, you know, if you balance the light on your head, I'm not sure I could do this, so you might want to catch it. But if you balance the light on your head, then you can carry more bread.
Uh-huh.
Right? So I didn't actually do that, but people attributed that to me because they said that I was so generous that I didn't have enough arms to carry everything that I was giving away.
Oh. Right? Now, and so you gave your dowry away.
Yeah.
But what happened to the contract with...
contracts are binding, right?
Yeah.
So they had a trial, and they decided that I had broken the contract my mother made. And so they wanted the same thing that happened to Agatha to happen to me, which is they took her to... Are there young people in the room who shouldn't hear this? They took her to a place where they take women who don't have any money, and then men come to them. You know what I'm talking about, right? And Agatha was there for a month, and it was really terrible what happened to her. And then they actually mutilated her, and they wanted to do that to me anyway. Then they took her to prison, and they wanted to do that to me too. So they came for me to take me to that place, and you know, Jesus is really, really good. You know that too, right? Jesus is really, really good. They couldn't move me.
What do you mean they couldn't move
me? Well, I stood in the street and they tried to carry me, but it was like I was glued to the earth. They couldn't move my body.
Very large. It would seem easy to move you.
No, and there were a lot of people trying to move me, but they couldn't move me. So then they got a cart with oxen and they tied me to it and tried to pull me, and they couldn't move me. It was a miracle. Yeah, it was a miracle.
So it all turned out well then. They just couldn't take you.
Well, no, then they tried to burn me, so they piled wood all around me and lit me on fire, but that didn't work either.
Like I said, so it turned out well, didn't it?
Well, no, it didn't turn out well. They just kept going, right? And so I ended up dying right there on that spot. They finally got their swords, right? But what's interesting to me is how people didn't have eyes to see. They didn't have the vision to see that I was called by someone more powerful than they are. And that I was just called to help people. It was really simple, actually. You know, it's really simple to help people, to give bread and to give light and to walk with people when they're hurting. That's all I was doing, yeah.
And so, in the years since, you've become referred to St. Lucy and even Santa Lucia.
Yeah, I don't get that, actually.
No. But you're known as the patron saint of vision and light. Is that right?
Yeah, because one of the things they did to me when they were trying to kill me is they took out my eyes. And so that didn't kill me either. But you know what happens to you? You know all about this, Nicholas. You know what happens to you is the particular circumstances of your life. Those things become iconic for people. And what happens to you and what you endure becomes symbols to them of strength and faith. So, you know, in the time after that, they said that I'm the patron saint of the blind.
That would make sense, since he'd been blinded.
Yeah, I'm the patron saint of the blind and of light and vision and lots of other things, too. Yeah. And you know, when you're the patron saint of light, you know what people do? They think about the darkest time of the year. You guys know when the darkest time of the year is?
December.
Well, in this hemisphere, it's now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and so this is kind of how my fame and my story spread to the north, because then I became a symbol that, you know, if you have the light of Lucy and you have the light of Jesus, that you can survive the darkest time. And not just the shortest day of the year, the longest night, but you can survive the darkest time in your life. Yeah. Do you know there's a society here that celebrates my feast day? They're celebrating today, actually. Did you know that?
No.
They celebrate...
Norwegians, right?
No, the Swedish.
Oh.
The Swedish, yeah. Yeah, so there's a celebration actually today, if you want to see me in all my glory, and actually closer to the age that I was when I actually did these things, you can go to Wild Rose United Church is where that is this afternoon.
Oh.
Yes.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Wow, you're really up on current events.
I am. I am.
So
Because I still care about people. You probably have the same thing. You still care about people, right?
Yes, and we used to celebrate Santa Lucia Day. But I thought they just got the prettiest girl to do that.
Well,
I'm not making any comments about you, by the way.
We did again.
I think I've weathered the time pretty well, actually.
You have.
Well, St. Agatha, you know, she was 20 when she died. And me too, 20. So 20, the Swedish society, they look for someone who's young because I was really young. Yeah.
So we've been talking about sight and light and things like that. So St. Nicholas, you're kind of our spiritual guide during this Advent season. What are your hopes for us as far as what we see during this Advent time and head toward Christmas?
Well, my hopes are that we would use our eyes to see, first of all, the Christ and what he did for us, and then to see other people as people who were also died for by Christ, and to see where we can help and to help them. Too much happens this time of year, as I understand it, in your culture. Everybody's out there rooting around trying to find gifts for other people that they will say, oh, isn't this wonderful? But the wonder has already happened, and it happens again through us.
Yeah, you know, Jesus healed my mother.
Ah.
And I want everyone to have that. I saw that happen, and I want everyone to have that.
Yeah, the healing that Christ gives.
Yeah, and you know, the healing that Christ gives, more often than not, it comes through us.
Thank you both for being icons that point us to the love and grace of God. And I understand that there's a plan to bless Advent candles, or Christ candles.
If you brought with you the center candle from your Advent wreath, you are invited to bring it forward during the singing that will happen in a minute. And we're going to put all the candles here and light them, and then we'll bless them. So you should remember where you put yours so that you can take yours back when this is done. Yeah. Is that okay? Is that enough?
That's great. Okay. Thank you both very much.
You're welcome.
For guiding us.